Good evening, everyone. Tonight is Saturday evening, and it's the 10th of July, 2021. And my family is here with me, Rosette and Mark. And anyway, I had a brief conversation with my brother today. It's good to hear his voice. And it's been an unusual day today, I must say. I won't get into all the details. All I'm going to say is it is amazing to me how people can take scripture, very clear scripture, there are very clear teachings in scripture, and totally explain it away. You know, there's a seminary got a fly here bothering me. Maybe I can kill him. I got a fly swatter here, so maybe I can get him. There's a seminary up in Kansas City. It's called St. Paul Seminary. And they actually have a class they teach on the New Paul. The New Paul. They take all the teachings of Paul and say it's not relevant for today. That it was only for the culture that he was addressing at that time. Many people have sought to change the Word of God over the years, saying it doesn't really mean what it says. And that's why they've come up with all these different versions of the Bible and different translations. And they attack the authorized 1611 King James Version of the Bible. When I was coming up, I remember we would have family devotions. And there was a specific time period. I don't know how old I was. I really don't remember how old I was. I'm thinking maybe somewhere around 13, 14 maybe. This was on a particular evening. Like we always did, our family gathered around before we went to bed for devotions. And I guess my mom and dad had been having an ongoing disagreement about the Bible, I guess. And my dad became very, very upset. His response was not the right response, but all I remember is he said, "All right, Norva," my mom, "from now on, you're in charge of family devotions," and he threw the Bible at her. And that really was a demarcation. When that happened, actually what my father did is he gave up the leadership, the spiritual headship in the home, and gave it over to my mom. Ever since that time, it was not good. I'm sharing some very personal things tonight, you know. Very personal things. My dad was a blue-collar plumber, and we were church that we were involved in, the Overland Park Church of God Holiness, there were a lot of people there that were very academically inclined, free will Arminian teachers. And one of the persons that was a candidate for to be a minister. His name was Jesse Skaggs. And he wasn't a very eloquent speaker. And so he was canceled by Dr. Dale Yoakum, who was pastor of the church at the time. He'd also been in administration of the Bible school. After all, he had a doctor's degree, just like Dr. Omar Lee and Dr. Noel Scott and Dr. Earl McClanahan. There was a lot of doctors, you know. But Dr. Dale Yoakum counseled Jesse Skaggs that he would be better as a counselor. But what I didn't know at that time, I found out later, because Jesse Skaggs later became one of my academic counselors at the junior college that I attended before I transferred over to the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Before I transferred to Kansas University, KU, in Lawrence. Jesse Skaggs sent his son to a Jesuit high school, Rockhurst High School. He didn't send his son to that Bible school that I attended. No, it wasn't good enough. He had to put him in a Jesuit high school. There was, I've shared with this audience before, when God began to show me through His Word and through the Holy Spirit, reveal to me the doctrine of election and predestination, I began to seek these things out, and I got a hold of a message by a guy by the name of Herman Hanko from the Protestant Reformed Church, and he did a sermon called Unconditional Election, and that sermon had a profound impact on me, and it had such a profound impact that I duplicated that tape and sent it out to everybody I knew. And as a result, it got back to Dr. Omar Lee. And at that time, he was the pastor of the Overland Park Church of God Holiness Church. Anyway, we ended up, I guess he was going to try to straighten me out. We met at a restaurant for lunch, and he began to kind of try to straighten me out on my doctrine. And I went through the 5 points with him. And as I went through each of the 5 points, he tried to explain away total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the final perseverance of the saints. And then he tried to push material down my throat. One of them was entitled God's Strategy in Human History by Marstow, M-A-R-S-T-O-W, I believe. And I got that book. I couldn't even get through the first chapter. It was so bad. God's Strategy in Human History. God has more than a strategy. God doesn't strategize. God declares. God has decrees. There is a big contrast between those who are promoting the lie of free will, and they've been influenced by these Jesuits. Like I said, we had one of the main people in their movement sending his son to a Jesuit high school. There were other people there. I often wonder, well, why aren't their children in this school? You know, I often wondered that. Why aren't their children up here? And the children that were attending there were there. It was a well-known fact that in that school there was like a you have kind of a little elite group of people that stay off to themselves, you know, and they kind of look down upon all the other people. That's kind of what I experienced from grade school through high school. And my brother, my older brother Dale, who was killed in a car wreck at 19, I was 17 at the time, but both of us never could ever be accepted with outstretched arms by not only the administration, but by the teachers and people at the same level as these teachers' children, these doctors' children, because my father was in opposition to a lot of what they taught. You know, I was a pretty good student. I would get primarily A's and B's. But in Bible, I would always, you know, I got a D minus from Dr. Dale Yoakum, who was my teacher, because it was his way of getting back at me because I was not subscribing to his lies. So anyway, I wanted to just share that with you, you know. The doctrine of election and redemption cannot be separated. You cannot have salvation without election, and you cannot have election without salvation. You cannot have an all-sovereign God, you know, by explaining that your best ammunition against the sovereignty of God is reading a book called God's Strategy in Human History. You can't hold on to the doctrines of the Bible by explaining away the Apostle Paul's teachings. Look at the results of these teachings in our society today. Absolutely preposterous. Look at the results of the teachings of Arminianism and Catholicism, because they're really one and the same. Look at the results. Look at our culture today. Rampant immorality, adultery, fornication, burglary, theft, bearing false witness against one's neighbor, lying, cheating, homosexuality, LGBT, transgenderism, perversion. Romans 1:1 is in effect. He will turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. And so we worship here in our little home. We're a part of the underground church. And I'm entitled this morning's devotional, "Have you ever been thrown under the bus?" In other words, have you been ostracized or excommunicated for not compromising? You know, my sister-in-law told me, you know, "You're old school. You know, we're new school. You're old school." You know, she didn't like the old King James Version of the Bible. My sister-in-law, one time, she said in the group, "I'm going in a different direction." We know what direction she went to him to. You know, we would go over to my mom and dad's on a monthly basis, Mark and Rosette and I, and we would sing the old hymns. And then my mom started requesting that we sing out of the praise and worship hymn. We were singing out of the old school hymnal, and she wanted me to play some songs on the piano out of her praise and worship. And there's some good songs in there, but there's a lot of Arminian free will music in those hymnals. Trying to get me to compromise, and she got so uncomfortable, and any time we would sing a song that would express God's everlasting love and his election, she'd start rolling her eyes around. Very uncomfortable. Why is it that these churches refuse to teach election, predestination, when it's clearly taught in the Bible? Why is it they ignore it? You know, the Mennonites, they have a lot of good singers. I enjoy listening to some of their singers, a cappella singers. But if you go to the Mennonite website, you'll find it's Arminian. They're teaching universalism, total false doctrine. Our country was founded on false doctrine, folks. I don't care how many times you listen to David Barton or Jay Sekulow or Dick Bott or Adrian Rogers, Billy Graham, or Franklin Graham. They're all teaching the same false doctrine. That God, through his son Jesus Christ, died for the sins of the whole world without exception. And Jesus Christ taught something totally in contradistinction to that. Jesus Christ said, "All that the Father hath given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out." Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." Jesus Christ prayed, 17th chapter of John, and it says that God gave him power over all flesh. John chapter 17, verse 2. In the book of Acts, we're told that as the Jews began to reject Jesus Christ as their Messiah, Apostle Paul said, "Lo, I go unto the Gentiles." And it tells us in Acts 13 that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. There's a lot of people that think they can have eternal life by executing their free will. But Christ taught in John 3, before John 3:16, he taught, "The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God." You must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. And so, I just kind of am reminiscing a little bit this evening. This is going to be, we're going to have the message before our singing tonight. This has been heavy on my heart. You know, my sister's birthday is coming up. My sister Joy, she's named after my mom. Her first name is Norva. My mom's name was Norva. Norva Joy Phillips. And I love my sister. She may not believe that when I say that publicly, but I love my sister. I love my brother Bradley. Okay? I love my mother and father. I honor them. My mother was a great housekeeper. She was a great cook. She showed a lot of love through nurturing and providing for her family. Good meals, and she kind of overfed us. But, and my dad was a hard worker and a good provider. But you know, Scripture says that if you're not willing to give up your own family, you know, Paul said he wished that he was accursed for his kin's sake. You know, but my extended family, Rosette's family. Rosette's the oldest of 11 children. And the last time that Rosette had any experience, had any contact with her mother told us that we need to leave. We needed to leave. I won't get into all the details around that, but any time that you have truth come against falsehood, there's going to be a conflict. That's in your, in our own lives, our own personal lives. That's in our relationship with other people. Look at all the conflict Paul went through. The book of Acts, you'll find it all the way through the book of Acts. Paul was persecuted for teaching the truth. And it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. Not in this world. If you're in Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. Well, I'm through. I used to know, I knew a guy one time, a preacher, and he'd always say, I'm through, the Lord bless you, whenever you finish his sermon. We're going to sing a few songs. I do want to read one piece of scripture, because I think this is very apropos for what I'm talking about, because a lot of times, what brings about the reinforcement for compromise is the almighty dollar. Unfortunately, Scripture tells us that love of money is the root of all evil. Think about it. All evil. Love of money. Remember in the book of Acts, in the 23rd chapter, I want to make sure I'm in the right place here. No, it's actually in the 24th chapter. This is the account of Paul being accused by the Jews, saying that he was teaching false things and so on. And this is Paul's answer. Against Tertullius, who was a orator that was coming against Paul. And of course, Ananias was the high priest. And so he's going to listen to Paul's arguments about the fact that he was not what this Tertullius was accusing him of. And so he's going through his refutation here to Ananias. And he says in the 12th verse, "And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city." And then he gets into, you know, the problem about the resurrection. So they didn't like him teaching the resurrection. And, of course, he's also talking to Felix. And Felix, you know, had kind of an empathy towards Paul. And in the 22nd verse we see here it says, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him." So in other words, Felix was kind of empathetic with Paul, and he was allowing him to have kinship and friends come and visit him and so on. And it says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Celia, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ." And Paul, it says, here's what Paul did in verse 25. "As he reasons of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way, for this time when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." You know, Paul was having an impact upon Felix. But over time, look what happened. This is the verse I want to point out. And this is what happens with people that are in the system, in the government. You know, if you're entrenched in the government, in politics, if you're a school teacher, if you're a public school teacher, if you're a congressman, a senator, you know, one of the past congressmen and who later became a senator is now president of the school I used to attend. Anyway, it says, "Go thy way this time, then I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And look what it says about Felix in verse 26. It says, "He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul." He was looking for a payoff. There's a lot of people looking for a payoff. They're threatened. Their careers are threatened if you speak out on the things I've talked about tonight. If you're not willing to compromise with the system, go along with all of these compromises, and put some money in the till, so to speak, you're going to be rejected. Anyway, it says he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent him for him the oftener and commune with him. So he was trying to coerce Paul into giving him money is what he was doing. You know, but after 2 years he must have realized, I'm not going to get any money out of this guy. Well, what was his response when he didn't get any money? After 2 years, Garcia Asbestos came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. He didn't get what he was looking for, money. Judas sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. How many people have sold out for money? How many people have sold out for money? How many people have compromised what they know is right for the almighty dollar, or to be accepted, to be a part of the club? You know, some people will forego their conscience to have the acceptance of other people. So that's what's on my mind tonight. I hope the good Lord will use this for his glory. Mark is going to read some scripture for us, and then we're going to sing some hymns. I'll turn the camera around. And here's my lovely family, Rosette and Mark. Say hello.
Hello.
And Mark, go ahead. What are you going to read for us?
288, I want to love you more.
I know you're going to read your scripture.
And I will sing that song first for you if I read that.
Okay. What's the number of it?
288. I want to love you more.
288.
Like that Christian song.
And the only way that God will give you will give us the want to is if he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Is that not right?
Yeah.
That's what part of giving us the want to love him more, right?
Yeah.
288. You want to start that?
Well, Jesus,
let's go a little bit higher.
With Jesus I would ever be, his matchless name adore. He's done so very much for me. I want to love him more. 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 I do, I do, I do. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. He's done so much for me. He died upon the cruel tree. Our load of guilt he bore. He suffered shame for you and me. I want to love him more. His children he will not forsake when troubles press him sore. But in their souls sweet peace awaits. I want to love him more. Oh, Prince of Life, sweet Prince of Peace, who dwells on earth below, my faith in him will never cease. I want to love him more. 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 I do, I do, I do. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. He's done so much for me.
Okay, you want to read your scripture now?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you going to read for us?
Actually, it's a scripture verse to quit on 3:30, It's in Matthew 12, Gospel, chapter 12, 1 through, read 1 through 13.
Okay.
Okay. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day to the corn. His disciples were hungry, began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have you not read which David did when he was a hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which were not law for him to eat, neither for him which were with him, only for the priest,
or you have not read the law, how that on the Sabbath days a priest and temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the sacrifice, one greater than the temple. If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, he would not have condemned the guiltless man. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went to their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And we asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that we might accuse him? And he said to them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, but fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? And read a little bit, verse a little bit longer, sorry, shorter. How much then is a man better than sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth and restored whole, like as the other. Three more verses. Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from whence and whence thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all.
All right. Thank you,
this is the last verse I'm reading.
Okay.
No, sorry, sir. And charge him that they should not make him.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. The psalm that has been requested, I don't know if Mark or Rosette selected this, but it's 360.
Yeah.
When I am gone. Yeah. 360.
Turn to it first. Hurry up, Jim.
Shed not a tear o'er your friend's early fire when I am gone, when I am gone. Still in the slow, toiling bell you shall hear when I am gone, I am gone. Weep not for me as you stand around my grave. Weep not for them, I'd be glad to say. Think of the crown all the ransom shall wear. When I am gone, I am gone. Shed not a tear as you all kneel in prayer. When I am gone, when I am gone. Sing a sweet song when my grave you shall see. When I am gone, I am gone. Sing to the Lamb who on earth was slain. Sing to the Lamb who in heaven doth reigns. Sing till the earth shall be filled with his name. When I am gone, I am gone. Plant you a rose that shall bloom o'er my grave. When I am gone, when I am gone. Sing as sweet songs such as angels may have. When I am gone, I am gone. Praise ye the Lord that I free from all care. Praise ye the Lord that my joys you shall share. Look up on high and believe that I'm there. When I am gone, I am gone.
Okay, before we sing one of the psalms, let's sing 213. You know, we cannot look to individuals for comfort or acceptance or anything else. We look only to Christ. He is the God of all comfort. This is called O For a Breeze of Heavenly Love, 213.
O for a breeze of heavenly love to waft my soul away to that celestial world above, where pleasures ne'er decay. Eternal Spirit, deign to be my pilot, hear me low. Choose to view life to batches, where stormy winds do blow. I need the influence of thy grace to speed me on my ways, lest I should loiter in my race or turn my feet astray. Are not thy mercies sovereign still? And thou a faithful God, will thou not grant me more zeal to run the heavenly road from rocks of pride on either hand, from quicksands of despair? Oh, guide me safe on Canaan's land through every latest snare. Anchor me in that port above, on that celestial shore, where dashing billows never sweep, where tempests never roar.
Okay, the last one we're going to sing before we close this out, and I want to remind people we do have a conference call every Sunday at 11 o'clock Central Time, and I always invite people, if you're interested in having fellowship with this underground church, if you'll email me, you can go to LarryWPhillips.com and go to the guest page and request a link, and I will send you a link, and you can listen in to the conference call. In the Psalter on page 26, Psalm 20. This is taken from Psalm 20. The Lord in your distress. Okay, you want to start that with that?
Yeah.
It's page 26, and it's on Psalm 20.
The Lord in your distress attend, let Jacob's God exalt you still. Help from the holy temple sent, and strengthen you from Zion's hill. May he your sacrifice regard, and all your offerings in mind. May he your heart's desire reward, fulfilling all you have designed. In your salvation we'll rejoice, in our God's name our banners raise. Oh, may the Lord hear your voice, grant all you ask through all your days. I know now that the Lord defends and saves his own anointed son. From holy heavens his answer sends, his right and saving power will bring. In chariots some most confident, and on their horses some rely. But we boast only one defense, the name of God, the Lord Most High. While we are raised in upright stand, our foes are made to bow and fall. Oh, save the King, Lord, by your hand, and answer us the day we call.
Well, we hope that you have a good weekend, and what's left of it, and let us be reminded that, by the way, I want to thank Brother Carl Roberts for his message last week. It was a great blessing to many by God's grace, and it was on the strong delusion, and Brother Carl Roberts did a really good job in showing in the Second Thessalonians what that strong delusion amounts to. And anyway, if you get a chance, listen to that message. It's on Sermon Audio. I placed it on Sermon Audio. It's also on Carl Roberts' YouTube channel. And it was placed on a number of other platforms as well. So may the good Lord be with you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you is our prayer. God bless.